Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast. Now, this week, big science story, especially in my world as an immunologist. My whole field watches these things very closely. There's been what is being called an explosive outbreak of meningitis in the UK. And I'm sure you've seen it in the media, it's been in the news, it's been all over the place, really, because meningitis is a serious thing, as I'll explain. And the reports began coming in that there'd been a big outbreak of meningitis centred on Canterbury in Kent, in England. And what they noticed was lots of teenagers getting really sick, ending up in hospital with meningitis. And it was a concern because there were so many of them. Now, meningitis is happening anyway. I mean, in Ireland, all over the world, there's a certain number of cases every year. So it's not uncommon. It's rare enough to become severe. But this was noticeable because there were so many presenting with this. And at the moment, there's around 30, mainly teenagers, have had meningitis. And that's in the space of a few days. And the reason why that stands out is in England, which is obviously the key place we're talking about here, there'll be only 350 a year. And yet in the space of a week, you got to 30. And that put the health services on alert that there was something going on. And then tragically, of course, two people died. Two young women died, and meningitis can kill. And it kind of tells us that infectious diseases are never very far away. And death from an infectious disease can happen. And as I'll explain, we don't really know why some people die of these things. Also, there's probably four or five, the number hasn't been released yet, ended up in coma. They were induced comas, because meningitis can be extremely painful and a horrible thing to have, and they'd put young people into comas transiently to give them some relief from the agony of it. Now, I think the number of deaths is two, and it hasn't gone above that mercifully. But still, serious stuff going on here with this disease, meningitis. Now, what is it? Let's start with a definition. Well, it's caused by a bacteria. The main type of bacteria is called Neisseria meningitidis, and I worked on this many years ago myself, actually, and it's a gram negative bacteria, and it goes into your body and infects the meninges. And the word meningitis means inflammation of the meninges. Any disease ending in itis is always inflammatory. So arthritis is your joints, dermatitis your skin. This is the meninges. Now, what are the meninges? Very important, delicate tissue that covers your brain and your spinal cord. Like a flimsy, literally looks like a tissue that's covering a very important part of your body, your brain and your spinal cord. That's the bit that gets infected. Each pathogen that we know will infect different parts of the body. Famously, COVID was the lungs. This bacteria goes into the meninges. And when it's in there, the immune system kicks in, as usual, to fight infection. And that immune system then begins to fight the bacteria, but it will cause this inflammation. And what inflammation means is a bit of swelling, a bit of pain. And so the first symptoms that you see with meningitis is usually a very bad headache, because the meninges are inflaming and they're causing a pressure on the brain. And then nausea, vomiting, again through the brain, being harmed in this way is the other key symptom of this. And then this particular type, though, there's two types of meningitis. Let's get that clear. This one is bacterial. So Neisseria is a bacteria. The other type is a viral meningitis caused by viruses. So, for example, the herpes virus, which you may have heard of, that can sometimes go into the meninges. But the viral ones are much easier to handle by the immune system and don't cause usually severe disease. So for once, a virus is less malignant than a bacteria. The bacterial one is the one to watch for, and that's the cause of the outbreak in England. It's meningitis B. There's different types of meningitis bacteria, Neisseria, and they're given letters A, B, C, D, and so on. This is the B type, which is the commonest type, and they identified that very quickly from samples from the people who were infected with this bacteria. And of course, the numbers are striking. They're using words like unprecedented and explosive. About 30 cases so far, and that's a lot in this situation. Now, the good news is antibiotics work, so they really kill this bacteria, which is fantastic, you know. And so people who have the symptoms will be put on high-dose antibiotics immediately. There's talk of prophylactic antibiotics, actually, which means you give it to everybody, whether you have symptoms or not, while there's an outbreak happening. They haven't done that yet here because antibiotics are serious enough drugs to use. But still, there are antibiotics to contain it. And there's great studies. I mean, they will decrease spread by 90% in the community. So it's put under control, basically, with antibiotics. And then very importantly, there's a great vaccine, which I will come back to. And at the moment, there's a big rush on now to get the vaccine in. But the speed of this worried people. Now, the question is, what happened here? And it looks like it was a super spreader event. There were two options. One was, it's a new variant. And you'll all possibly remember the fear of COVID was new variants cropping up that were more different and more difficult to treat and so on. And one worry was it was a new variant. The good news is it's not. It's been around before. They sequenced the genome, the nucleic acids, the DNA of the bacteria, and it wasn't a new variant. It's a less common one, though, must be said. But the fear was this new one would be either more contagious or more damaging to our bodies, and that's not the case with this one, which is a relief. It took a while to get that, actually, because the DNA in this bacteria is 100 times bigger than the nucleic acid in COVID. So it's a much bigger thing, you know. It took longer then to get the sequence of it and get the information. And then, mercifully, it's not a new variant, which is great to see. So what happened was, it's a super spreader event now, they're pretty sure of this. They tracked down the source of it, and it was a nightclub in Canterbury. And they reckon there was someone in the nightclub which was very infected, basically, and they spread it then to others. And the nightclub in question then has been shut down for a while, obviously, because this has been a bit of a concern for them. I noticed there had been a previous outbreak that went back to that nightclub, and it looks like a super spreader just spewed out the bacteria. Now, the good thing about this as well is it's not as contagious anyway as COVID. It's mainly spread on saliva, for instance. So it's people coughing and spluttering and sneezing and kissing, interestingly. And in fact, that's why it's commoner in teenagers, because they're inclined to kiss more, I suppose. And then they spread the bacteria from one to the other. And that's when the thing began to take off from this nightclub in Canterbury. And then they think what happened was some of those teenagers went back to their halls of residence in the university. And then it spread further, because halls of residence, there's all these students crammed in together, and they begin spreading it that way. And that was the source of this now. So it was a super spreader event. It has, however, there's been a case in London and a case in France that probably originated in Canterbury, so it can spread beyond this region. But as I say, overall, it's now under control because of these antibiotics bringing the whole thing down. And that was a big relief that the antibiotics would work. Now, what about the vaccine? Well, the vaccine is interesting, very effective vaccine. It's usually given to babies, because if you're under 1 year of age and you get meningitis, you're at a much higher risk of becoming very severe. And as a result, then vaccinations were developed, and now they're given to babies in Ireland and in the UK from 4 weeks, actually, is the first shot, a second shot 4 weeks later, and then a booster a year later. And that really protects the baby and the young children. Those vaccines will last about 3 or 4 years, which is the danger time. The question now is, should we vaccinate teenagers? And there's talk of that. Maybe start vaccinating now. They're certainly vaccinating all the young people in Kent, you know, and then that university where it spread, and that vaccine. The trouble is the vaccine does take a few weeks to kick in fully, by which stage the thing is usually over. But even still, there could be still lurking somewhere. So vaccinate, there's a big vaccination campaign happening in Canterbury where it happened. Now, and as I say, the vaccine is very, very protective. Now, 30% of cases, you just get the meningitis, which means that that part of the brain gets inflamed. 30% only get sepsis. Now, what that is in some people, the bacteria will get out of the meninges and go into the blood and cause sepsis, which is a type of blood poisoning. And that can be very severe. That can give rise to really difficult symptoms. So 30% don't have any headache. And again, you got to watch for this. Now, what are the symptoms of sepsis? Well, it's shortness of breath. It's a raging temperature. Heart rate goes up hugely. You know, people feel really, really ill. And that's the thing to watch for in that situation. And then 40% get both. They get the brain and the sepsis happening. And that's roughly the division you get. Now, if you get the sepsis part, you will get a rash. And that rash, interestingly, doesn't fade if you rub a glass over it. Most rashes will fade slightly if you put pressure on them. In meningitis, the rash doesn't fade. But it's very important not to wait for the rash. If a young person or a baby is showing these other symptoms, things like headache and, you know, various vomiting and these sorts of things, and a fever, get into hospital quick. Don't wait for the rash is the advice overall. Because the trouble is, once sepsis begins, very hard to stop. In the case of meningitis, it can progress very, very fast. Within a day or so, someone goes from perfectly good health into very severe situations. So again, the message to parents out there is keep an eye on this. And as soon as any symptoms begin to appear that look quite serious, call 999. It's an emergency because it can go so fast. So keep an eye on this. But there's no evidence of this in Ireland yet, by the way. But meningitis can happen anytime, really. So again, it's a very interesting bacteria in that regard. Unlike other ones, which take longer to kick in and longer to cause problems, meningitis is much more rapid, is the idea here. So therefore, keep a very close eye on these symptoms as they emerge. And as I say, it's the babies that are the ones you would worry about most of all. Now, as I say, the relief of this is it's not being caused by a new variant, thankfully. The antibiotics still work, and then there's vaccines as well. So it's not like it was with COVID when there was a brand new thing that came along. And we were very worried at the time, of course, because it was a brand new virus. This is a bit simpler than that overall, especially with the deployment of the antibiotics. Now, again, what's going to happen next with this? Well, they think it's peaked. Very importantly, that's because of antibiotics, mainly killing it. Remember, antibiotics are a great way to kill bacteria. So that will wipe it out, basically, and it's got nowhere to hide and stops spreading. But some people can carry it for up to 10 days and not necessarily have too many symptoms. So maybe they would be ones who wouldn't have been on antibiotics or whatever it is. So therefore, you get a bit careful with that. But overall, in the UK, they're reporting now it's peaked and it's passed. But of course, always be vigilant, because meningitis will be around. In Ireland, you do get a few cases every so often. So again, just keep an eye on symptoms, especially in babies, as I say. Now, scientifically, one of the big questions I think that's really interesting to us is, why do some people develop really severe disease? Most of us, interestingly, will not develop severe disease. Our immune system kicks in, protects us. You may have some severe symptoms for a while. Sadly, some people end up in hospital, but overall, most of us recover from this. But a percentage will develop very severe disease. They reckon it's between 5 and 10% who get it will develop very severe situations. And sadly, a certain number will die. And even if you don't die and you have severe disease, there are things like deafness. That's a feature of this, because the brain is being damaged, and deafness can be one consequence, and sometimes limb amputation. That sounds horrible, but in sepsis, sometimes it goes into your fingers or into your feet, and the way to stop it is amputation. So it can be serious, you know. And one big question, which I worked on myself all those years ago, is why do some people develop severe disease? It turns out to be genetic. We think you're carrying certain genes and they put you at risk of severe disease. And a gene I discovered, my lab discovered many years ago, called MAL. There's a variant in MAL, and if you carry that form of MAL, you have a 3 times increased risk of severe disease in meningitis, especially when it's caused by TB, because that bacteria can also cause meningitis. So there's a big interest in this, or there had been an interest in this, in trying to stop these overactive pathways. And it's still going on. There are still companies interested in blocking MAL and blocking these pathways to try to limit severity in sepsis. So we think the severe end is largely, like, a big reason is genetic that would cause this. And in particular, the MAL variant was linked to deafness, interestingly. So again, you can see where this might go. And in fact, the outbreak might reawaken interest in this disease, and a way to limit it and the damaging effects of that disease would be the overall idea here. So I think it'll provoke more research. And of course, it does give us an opportunity to remind everyone, take the vaccine. Very effective vaccine in babies. The meningitis B vaccine will really protect the baby from developing this very, very severe disease. And then meanwhile, you end up in school in Ireland. Now, when you're in first year in school, in primary school, you'll be given a booster. And remember, make sure that the best way to protect the child is to take the vaccine against meningitis. And then you won't see these negative, hugely risky consequences of severe disease. It's a big success story when it comes to vaccination, is the idea. And lastly, just to reiterate, any concerns, if you're really worried, call 999 or bring the child to the emergency room, and they'll put them on high-dose antibiotics and they will kill the bacteria and have a huge effect on this. So there's very useful ways to treat meningitis. But it's still something that keeps cropping up. We'll keep an eye on infectious diseases, and hopefully, as I say, this outbreak has ended. There you have it, the science of meningitis. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.